There's a real sense that the Holy Spirit is here, right? Yo, it's beautiful. And I'd love to cement what we feel the Holy Spirit is doing currently. Because we can say, oh, the Spirit is here, but, you know, so what? What does that mean for us? What do we do with it? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, and he says, he speaks about the church. And he says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. You know, it's a leader to the church saying that. And he says, for I have promised you to one husband, speaking of the church, to present you as a pure and spotless bride to Christ. That's Paul's heart, and that should be the leader's heart. What are the leaders doing? We are beautifying the bride. We are, like Nikki said, we are putting the finishing touches on the bride. Because we are part of that promise. And we look forward to that day when we can present the bride and go, here you go, Jesus. And we're part of that bride. So that's our hearts. And as I speak, that's my heart. And I know that's the whole team's heart. So are we expectant for what the Holy Spirit wants to do as part of that? Because he's so much part of the Trinity. And I want to speak about that tonight. 1 Corinthians 14 speaks about encouraging us to eagerly desire the gifts, especially prophecy. Do we eagerly desire it? Are we asking the Lord for it? Not necessarily like, Lord, give me power to make people levitate and whatever, you know, like things that will impress people about you. No, what does the Spirit want to do? And can you align with that? Because the more you know him, the better. The more you know the Spirit, the more you know God, the more your identity is in it. Jeanette, do you want to come and quickly bring that scripture? I know I'm playing with time here. But Jeanette brought this word in during worship, and I literally have it typed out on my notes.
It's 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 onwards. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful. Pause. To the master, and prepared to do any good work.
Do we want to be for special use? Or do we want to be everyday use? Like our identity should be, Lord, use me for your special purposes. That's what that scripture is saying. It's his desires for us to be that. For us to be cleansed so that we can be useful for special use. Holy, set apart. Set apart for him. That's what holiness is. You know, the Holy Spirit was crucial to Jesus as he walked on this earth. He did nothing outside of the Spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit his whole life. He was raised to life by the Spirit. And he was replaced by the Spirit when he left. So he's here. This is God's plan for us to have the Spirit. And I do know that if you get saved, it is by the Spirit. So each of us have the Spirit. Okay, and that's quite an assuring thing. It used to be an assuring thing for me. It still is an assurance for me. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me your Spirit. That's the only way you can get saved. He was sent to us and for us. But I want to ask you, how do you see him? Because we all have an idea, you know? And I'll get back to that a little bit later. But in the meantime, just think about that a little bit. At the same time, my prayer is right now. In fact, I'm going to pray so you can look around or close your eyes, whatever. Holy Spirit, you are here. And we invite you to work into our hearts right now. We invite you to work into our minds, into our spirits. Come and have your way. And I pray, Lord, my specific prayer is that your truth will transpire. Your truth will come through. not my ideas, not my opinions, but your truth, that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Quick step back. My own story a little bit, and most of you know a bit of my journey. But over the past 3 years, I've had some, I was in hospital quite regularly, okay? But quite often it involved my legs, somehow. Like I was, the doctor said you won't walk for 6 months, and the other time I had to go to hospital again, and there was a boat involved, and there was a rock fall involved, and all kinds of things. But somehow I keep on talking to God about, Lord, but my legs, you know? It was just uncanny that they involved, and at one point, God gave me a scripture, specifically Psalm 147, verse 10. I do not delight in the legs of a man. Specifically telling me, I'm not impressed by them, buddy. You know? Like, thank you. Woo! I like it. Thank you. I have confidence again. And the scripture goes on. But in those whose hope are in his love, that's what impresses him. So our reliance on him, our hope in him, in his love, in what he comes to do, our total reliance on him. So that kind of got my... So whenever I hear something around legs, like in the Bible, I mean, then whenever I hear that, my ears prick. I go, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? Because it's kind of been a bit of a theme. I want to read with you Acts 3 from verse 1. Janine, I'm going to probably move quite fast. Okay. This is Peter and John, two apostles. Okay, they went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Okay, let's do the last one. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instant. No, I just read that. Okay, no, that's definitely enough then. Okay, thanks, Janine. Sorry. So he was lying there. Imagine this, okay? 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, at the gate, he was lying there begging, okay? And I'm sure you've seen people like that in our day. On the street sidewalk, they're in the dirt. They can't get out of it, okay? And they're begging for alms. He asked for money. Did the man have legs? Yes, he had legs. When each of us are born, do we have legs? Yes. If you probably can't recall, but you have legs. You got legs when you were born. They weren't attached later. You were born with legs. Could you use your legs when you were born for the intended purpose? Not sticking it in your own eye. Yeah. No, walking came with practice, right? No? Okay. Just like legs is there at our birth. The Holy Spirit is there at our Christian birth. You are born again by the Spirit. You have the Spirit from that moment, just like you have legs from the moment you're born. John 3 verse 5 says, we are born of the Holy Spirit. If you have been saved, you have the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about walking by the Spirit tonight. How do we do that? Because it might be that some of us are still dragging our legs. spiritually. Like the lame man, he had legs. He couldn't use them. It's not his own fault, but he couldn't use them. Did he have a full life? No, he did not have a full life. If as a Christian, we don't walk by the Spirit, will we have a full Christian life? No. We might have what we think is a good life, but there's so much more. Compare sitting in the gutter with running and leaping and praising God. That's the contrast. And spiritually, that can be the contrast for each of us. So by the Spirit, you are born again by the Spirit. In John 20, verse 22, they receive the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 18, I'm going quickly through these if you want the scriptures later. I have many scriptures, so I'm, yes, people are writing so fast. I see smoke coming out of Michelle's pen here. Skid marks on the sides of the page. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures, so if you want them later, I'm happy to send them. It's also no secret. People have spoken about these things in the past. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, they received power by the Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. We all have the Spirit. You receive it in many ways. The Spirit can be with you, in you, and upon you in different ways. And how do we use that? How do we walk by Him? In the same way, we all have the Spirit, but we're not necessarily intimate with Him. We don't really know Him. When I say walk by the Spirit, I mean know the Spirit. Because that's where, if you know His will, know what He wants. There's a surrender required for that. There's a relationship required for that. Do you know about the Holy Spirit? Or do you know the Holy Spirit? It's a question for yourself. Question for yourself to ask. You don't live prophetically because you have the Spirit. You live prophetically because you walk by the Spirit. So if you're thinking, how do those people prophesy so well? Or you get these, you know, beautiful prophecies. It's not, yeah, they have the same Spirit you have. But they walk by that Spirit. It's like somebody sitting, not using their legs, going, how come they're running? How do they, I've also got legs. Does it make sense? It kind of doesn't, hey? Like, why would you? Are we like the same? Are we the same like the lame man? He didn't ask to walk. He asked for money. He asked for arms. He asked for what he thought he needed, right? And then Peter said, look at me. And he says, I don't have what you're asking for. I have what you need. That's what God gives him. How often do we ask for things? We ask for power. We even ask for the power gifts of the Spirit. Lord, let us pray better. Let us prophesy more. Let us become a better preacher or whatever. And we ask for other stuff, which is all good, also good, like give us good jobs, Lord, or look after my family. Those are good. I'm not saying any of those are bad. But do we ask, Lord, can I know you more? Can I walk by you more? We don't know how often. When last did you ask that? When you prayed? We ask for safety, prosperity, health, success. Those things are not wrong. Just like the man asked for alms. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord. One thing I ask from the Lord. The thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. That's what David's asking for. That's what was most important. This I ask of you. Think of the freedom you have because you can walk or run. Think of all the freedoms. And I know some people lose their legs or lose part of it. And it's terrible. Think of the freedom you have. Now spiritually, think of the freedom you can have. If you are part of this bride, and most of you are, we've been speaking about this bride a lot, we need you to be able to run. by the Spirit. We will not be who we are supposed to be if you are limping or unable to walk in the Spirit. We need you to be able to stand, to fight, to run, or we won't be the same. We need you, every person. We need you to bring an encouraging word at the right time. We need you so we can represent Jesus better together, because alone we can't. And you may have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you all have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved here today, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're not, we must talk. And we're going to give a chance to talk about that. But the question is not whether he's slotted into your life, but does he have you? It's a different perspective. All of you, are you in him? And that just means to be surrendered to him. Life choices. It's actually easy when you're fully surrendered to him. It's only when we have that thing of lovers of money, lovers of self bubble up, that decisions become complicated and we try and compromise or try and have a foot on each rung of both of two ladders. Remember that one. If you are fully surrendered, you will be happy to go where he leads, even if it's uncomfortable, or happy to stay if he says stay, even if it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we get challenged in church and we don't like it. It's like, oh, this is hard, or I just don't like it. What do we do? Do we surrender and go, okay, Lord, your will? Or, no, I don't like this, I'm out. It's too uncomfortable. I had a few conversations over the past weeks about this camp. People going, no, it's not, camping is not for me. And then we gently spoke towards, like, it's not about the comfort. Let's face it, it's not going to be comfortable for most of us. But it's not about the comfort, guys. What's he calling us to? And in his will, there's such joy. There is such joy when you're in his will and you know him and you are running in the Spirit. There is such joy. Do you know that the Spirit wants more of a relationship with you than you want with him? No matter how much you want one, he wants more. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 is a beautiful scripture. Can we read that quickly? Okay. Most of you know this blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Can you see that Jesus brings the grace, God brings the love, and the Holy Spirit brings fellowship? Some translations, the King James said communion of the Spirit. And it is not communion or fellowship by the Spirit. It's the communion of the Spirit. That's a big of. In other words, it's communion with him. It's his communion. It's the communion that belongs to him, an intimate relationship. Not with him, but of him. That closeness. It's a crazy idea that the person who raised Jesus from the dead is yearning to have an intimate relationship with us. Like, it still blows my mind. I don't think we really can understand that. And he already knows you. You can't scare him or surprise him with something you've done or even thought. Psalm 139 says, you know my thoughts. You can't surprise him. And we're like, no, but maybe I'm not ready or holy enough, or I can't approach him. He knows you already. So the Spirit is for everyone. Not just the holiest people that are already running with the Spirit. Just like legs are for everyone, the Spirit is for everyone. It's for everyone. So that is probably my main message, the main clause. What was tonight about? The Spirit is for everyone, just like legs are for everyone. We just need to use them. Okay. Cool. This is going faster than I thought. I'm happy. Just quickly, I said we'll speak about who he is. To walk with the Spirit, we need to talk with the Spirit. We need to, imagine if you had a person here that you love and you're close to, and you never speak to them, but you're expected to walk together all the time. It's not going to work. Quickly, Mervis, can you come up, please? Object lesson. Thank you. So, the other day somebody asked me, who do you think in Josh Jen is one of the holiest people? And I might be wrong. I am biased, but I thought Mervis immediately. Okay. I'm not joking. It was the first name that came to mind. And so I might be wrong because I don't know everything. But when I engage, when I relate to Merv, do I treat him as a thing, as a it? Yeah, it's coming to do worship, you know? Or I'm going to go visit it. Or is he an abstract concept? Or is he a person? And would it be nice of me if I use him like a tool? Mervis, do this, Merv, do that, and I use him like a tool. It wouldn't be friendly. It wouldn't be personal. I have a relationship with him. You wouldn't use a person. Why would we use the Holy Spirit? Why would we refer to him as it? How do we engage the Holy Spirit? I'm almost done with you, okay? I'm using you. Because he's so much more than an experience or a feeling. Sometimes we go, ooh, I can sense the Spirit is here. How was that meeting? I sensed the Spirit. So if Merv has to stand up, and please don't, and he punches me, okay? It would be bad. And I will go home with a limp. And I will tell Jeanette, ooh, I experienced Mervis. And she'll look at my face and she'll say, no, you felt his power. Thank you. Thanks, Merv. She'll say, no, you didn't experience him. You just felt his power. So in a meeting, which is a power meeting, you can experience him and you can feel his power. That doesn't mean you know him. It doesn't mean you know him. We can all experience him. We can all feel his power. It doesn't mean we know him. You can jump in front of a train. It's not a person. You will feel the power. Trust me, you will feel a lot of power. Okay? It doesn't mean you'll have a relationship with that thing. Okay? It'll be a quick one anyway, but do we know him? There's a closeness. There's love. There's a presence. But do we know the person? In the Bible, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit He. In the Bible, the Spirit is referred to as a person, not use the force. You know? Because we try and imagine what the Spirit is. Is it a fire? Is it a cloud? Is it a wind? Is it a, you know, did they mix Star Wars into it? I'm quickly going to go through these scriptures, so don't even try and write them down, but I can send them to you later. Romans 8:27, He has a mind. He has a will in Acts 16. He has emotions in Ephesians 4. There's a personality. He performs actions only a person can perform. He speaks in Acts 13:2. He searches all things, 1 Corinthians. He distributes gifts, 1 Corinthians. He reveals things, 1 Peter. John 14, he teaches. Galatians 4, he cries. Show me a cloud that cries. Okay, rain, that's bad. That's a bad example. I did not think that through. Okay. Sorry, okay? Romans 8, he intercedes. Romans 8, he leads. Romans 8, he helps. 2 Corinthians 13, he has fellowship. Those are personal things. Those are personal traits. Show me something that does all that. He's not wind. He's not fire. He's not a dove. He's not oil. Those things don't do those things, okay? He has personal feelings that's ascribed to him. Ephesians 4, he's grieved. Isaiah 63, he can be rebelled against. Hebrews 10, insulted. Acts 5, he can be lied to. Matthew 12, blasphemed. Acts 7, he can be resisted. Acts 5, he can be tested. 1 Thessalonians 5, he can be quenched. Psalm 106, he can be provoked. Acts 15, he can be pleased. That's a person. It's not a force. It's not a thing. It's a person. If I had to treat one of you as a force or a thing, you won't like it. The Holy Spirit is not a tool. He's a person. And Galatians 5:22, we see the fruit of the Spirit. Just a quick touch on that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are good. They're not supposed to make you better than other people. They're supposed to make you a better you. We try and fix ourselves. We try and get these fruit. Oh, I must try and be more loving. I must try and be more patient. Lord, make me more patient. Lord, give me goodness. Give me faithfulness. That's not the way to get those things, guys. Because those things are fruit of something. Fruit of the Spirit. So just get the Spirit. Those things are signs that you're walking with the Spirit. You can't fake the fruit. It's not going to work. Maybe for a short while. Only from knowing the Spirit, intimacy with Him. Okay. So on these things, how are we doing? Are we like the lame man? Mervyn Saunders, will you guys come back up again, please? Are we like the lame man? Or are we like a healthy baby? Is Melania, Umbre, oh, there he is. He's sleeping with his dad. I remember when he was, we devoted him here. You guys devoted him, and we had the whole Sunday about him, about how we'll love him as a son in the family. And he's still crawling, right? Yeah. So he's like standing and balancing, and it's so cool to see. And he has this little crab movement that he does to get by. I'm like, bro, just use your legs, you know? Like, have you ever, like if you had a child and they develop, you know, they develop right, and you're going, come on, you can do it. Just use, get up. And the first steps, I remember I actually videoed Anya and Theo's, both of their first steps ever. And they, like, it was such a celebration. Like, you can do it, you can do it. And then there's a little wobble and the fall. And yeah, the celebration that they're on their feet and they're walking. And you know that opens a whole new chapter of potential suicide, because they can walk anywhere and walk downstairs and into pools and in front of cars and everywhere. They become literally suicidal just because they can now move more. But at the same time, you celebrate how they are growing and starting to walk in the same way spiritually. The Spirit, if you can use the Spirit like that to walk, and God is egging us on, and the Spirit is the paraclete, the one that encourages us. In our Christian walk, in our Christian lives, if we struggle, it could be that we're not using our legs right. It could be. And you try and mature, and you try and do things, and it's hard for you. You keep on falling down. You're struggling. You try and live with the fruit of the Spirit, and you just don't get it right. You don't have patience. Whatever. You stay insecure. You're scared. There's anxiety. Whatever it is, it could be that you're trying to run without using your legs. It's easier to run on your legs than with your hands, guys. It could be that. It will keep us from growing into maturity. And last week, Russell spoke so beautifully on maturity. This is one of those things, learning to walk by the Spirit, to do what He called us to. Luke 4, verse 18 says this. And this was written in Isaiah. Because Jesus was a rabbi, and He went into the synagogue, and He was given the book of Isaiah. He didn't choose it. He was given the book of Isaiah, and He opened the scroll here, and He reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. The Spirit wants to do that. And Jesus says, it's the Spirit is on me to do this. And He was saying that now the Messiah's ministry is starting. That is coming true right now. You are seeing it happen. Of course, the Pharisees didn't like that. But the Spirit was upon Him. That's the heart of the Spirit, is to preach the good news, to evangelize. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria and to the end of the earth. And Cape Town, like very much the end of the earth, I think in the Israeli context, right? The beautiful thing is that the further you go in this walk, the more of the Spirit you'll get. I don't want to go into that, but in Ezekiel, it speaks of Ezekiel 47. Go read it. It's about a river, and the further you go, the deeper it gets. Not the shallower. It gets deeper. Rivers get deeper the further down that you go. I'm not going to talk more about that now. Here's a quote that's not mine, but before you seek God's miracles, seek His mission. Before you seek His power, seek His purpose. Because when the Spirit comes, you shall receive power. Don't ask for the power. Ask for the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. It's a natural thing that comes because of it. And when you walk with Him, you have deep joy. Guys, we are called to more. I'm so blessed by each one of you here. Like myself and Jeanette and the team, we are so grateful. We start most elders' meetings just by saying, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy and what you've done. It's beyond us. Like, we are so humbled by His faithfulness in you and your faithfulness. Like, really, we love you guys, but I know there's more. I know there's more. There's more of us that can get up on our legs and run to mature into His bride. That's why I asked Mervis to prepare that song about that picture of a wedding day, of the anticipation of a bride. She's ready. She's glorious. She's holy. She's beautiful. And the excitement of the groom. I mean, I don't think we'll be able to contain ourselves when that happens. Because like Paul says, we long to present you as a pure and spotless bride. Let's learn to get to know the Spirit. Be in the Word. The Word is Spirit inspired. It's literally the Spirit that told people to write that down. That's what it is. Will you close your eyes, please? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you've done. And our Father in heaven, I pray that we will not lie in the gutter, that we will not drag ourselves around by our arms, Lord, but it will not crawl, not stumble, that we will walk and we will run in your Spirit, Lord. And the way to do that is to know you, truly know you, and know you more and more. And thank you, Lord, that you're inviting us on this journey to know you and to know you more and more. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that points to Jesus. That's what it's about. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stay in this attitude. I'm going to hand it back to Nikki.